This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Part of the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. It's Cousin Sal with you. It's Mikey Meatballs. He is producing this disaster of a show, and joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Got a lot to get through today. Even though football's over, the stories keep coming and coming. We're going to set up our cap of consequences. I lost to Harry. We were both 2-11 in the playoffs, but the tiebreaker was the over-under, and I'm not even sure he won that, but whatever. He wins. I have to pick something unpleasant out of the hat, and that'll pay off on Thursday. We're going to do that. We have an NBA pick for Thursday. We have Caitlin Clark versus Michigan, Brother Bry. Nice. She saved it all for the home. I didn't even see a line on the game, but FanDuel does have odds already for what method of basket will it be that breaks the record. Very exciting, right?
Very exciting. I would guess, Sal, that line is going to be minus... 900. Minus 900.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, just for the game. Okay. Caitlin Clark, probably could have broken the record the other day, but save it for the home crowd. We have Sharp Tank. We have emails. Lots to go through. Harry, a lot of people wrote in about your stubbornness with this Chiefs team. You don't seem to care, but you said it's over and you're embracing them. But then kind of went back on it and made excuses. You did your typical Harry thing, right?
Listen, I'm going to go back and forth on it. You know, I'm going to I went back and forth on it yesterday. Kind of doing it today. We're going to go over who we like, I believe who we like for next year. So we'll see if I stick with the Chiefs or not.
No, we're going to do that tomorrow. We're going to do that on Cousin Sal's winning week. Oh, it's tomorrow? Okay. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot to comprehend here. Listen, we had the big parade on Wednesday. We're doing this Wednesday night. Some unfortunate circumstances with the debt surrounding more senseless shooting, but I don't understand what the hell is going on here with these. That son of a bitch, they should line up Harrison Butker and he should continually kick a ball in this guy's face until all the victims' relatives say enough is enough. But aside from the unpleasantness, it looks like the team had a good time. Brittany Mahomes pouring drinks, Willie Gay shirtless in the street. It's interesting. And Travis Kelce was out of his mind. My goodness. I don't know. But it's really, Parley Kid, not really an unlikable team. I'm going to compare them to the Patriots at this point, or after they had won 3 Super Bowls. And they were more unlikable, right? Is it because of the mass holes? Is it because of the cheating? Why is this? Or am I making this all up?
No, well, you had many more reasons than me to hate the Patriots. Because... you're surrounded by some Patriots fans out there. So I always respected the Patriots, and I have developed the same respect for the Chiefs. There's some things about them that, you know, maybe a little too over the top, but that when you win, you can get away with some of those things. And I have a lot of respect for Andy Reid. for the whole organization. Look, here's the one thing you could always say too. Chiefs fans are really good football fans, as far as I'm concerned. Like, even when the Chiefs aren't that good, that stadium is always loud. It's always proud. They're reveling in the good times now. So good for them. Everybody's a bit jealous of them. That's for
absolutely
sure.
Harry, I'm not even going to ask you, because you're one of the few that despises this Chiefs team for idiotic reasons. But Brian, I feel like you're more down the middle. Am I wrong about this assessment that the Patriots were hated at this point more than the Chiefs?
I mean, I think I agree with you there, because it's just a Boston thing, right? That, you know, when Boston was winning too, it was like everything was winning, right? At the same time, too. You had the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, right? So it became a little bit too much. And the way Boston fans are, it was a little too obnoxious. Yeah. And I think, the Chiefs fans, you're kind of like, they're everyday people, right? They're normal people. Mm-hmm. So, I've always said, I mean, for a Raiders fan, I absolutely can't stand the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody I can point to on that team that I really dislike. I mean, Mahomes, I always respected him. He was, you know, even though I hate the Chiefs, I was like, you know, yeah. I mean, he is the best or second best player of all time. So I agree with you.
Who
Sal,
was the was the linebacker the they got rid of? Dirty Dan from last year. What was his name? Dan
Sorensen. I don't even know if he was on the team last year, was he?
I think he's maybe not been gone for a few years. But with the dirty hits.
It was like him. I'm trying to think who else. Kadarius Toney, people don't seem to like, but they didn't even let him play. So that's another one. And you know, I mean, obviously there's ones that hate the Taylor Swift thing, but just talking player for player. I was talking about it with our friend Kevin Hench about who was the big loser this weekend. And I think it was Joe Montana. And I said it myself.
Because he sat next to us?
Yes, because...
he sat next to me?
Yes, because you didn't get to harass him at Mr. Chow's. I think that's why he was the big loser. No, and by the way, I'm the one that, you know, I contribute to this. I put Mahomes over him now because of this Super Bowl win. But he must be thinking... Jesus, I won 4 Super Bowl. I was 4-for-4, parlay kid. He's got to be thinking, I was 4-for-4 in an era where you could like just commit manslaughter on a quarterback and it would be fine. And now Mahomes wins 3 and it's like, all right, it's okay. You know, it's Mahomes. We don't have to see anymore. So I contribute to that. But to make it even worse, he's got to hate the current 49ers because they had 2 10-point leads against the Chiefs.
Right.
So his legacy takes a hit because of the this version of this
great
team
point.
Couldn't get the job done 35 years after he departed, right? So it's kind of a weird thing that we haven't seen before, right?
That's a great point, Sal. You're exactly right. That you kind of forget this team had 2 10-point leads.
Yeah.
And he's an ex-chief.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an ex-chief too for a minute there. That's I think he won a playoff game. But
game against Buffalo.
I mean, he must be like, God, I can't even root for this team anymore. I hate you guys. But so that was my take. So, but anyway, I still put Mahomes over him. 49ers fired defensive coordinator Steve Wilks on Wednesday. Very strange, Harry. He gave up, you know, I had this for both teams. I was like, both defenses should be proud. They gave up 19 points. In regulation, right? Pretty good. Yeah. You would sign off on that early. Definitely. Why'd they get rid of him?
I don't understand that either. You know, Wilkes is a guy in the who's been around for a while here in the NFL and gotten the short end of the stick. I don't understand this firing whatsoever, Sal. You would take that in a heartbeat if you would have said that you'd give up that in the Super Bowl. And when he was with the head coach for the Cardinals, They just threw him they kicked him to the curb to get ready to
did they bring throw Kingsbury him or did they in. Kick him? I
they
have to, we'll have to look this up.
I don't know what they did, but that was they got rid of him to get Kingsbury in there. And after 4 years, Kingsbury was here, 1 playoff appearance, no playoff wins. Probably a mistake there too.
Well, it's interesting that the Cardinals are the common denominator because the Eagles defense in last year's Super Bowl was so much worse. Much worse than the 49ers against the Chiefs, especially in that second half. And Jonathan Gannon, what's his punishment? He gets to coach the Cardinals at the top level. Maybe that was a punishment. I don't know. I'm sure the money is better. Anyway, all right. So that's the football news for Wednesday night as we go through this. We have Thursday picks in the NBA. Let's start us off, NBA and college hoops. I'm going to start us off with the Blazers plus 9.5 against Minnesota. Now, this is weird because they were home against Minnesota Monday and they lost by 12. And so now there's a little bit of a revenge factor, if that even exists in the NBA anymore, at home, even though the Monday game was also at home. But here's my point, and this line will change. It will not be 9.5. So get in on it now if you're listening. Ant Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Gobert, they could, everybody could sit. Like, everybody I could see getting a rest going into the All-Star game, right? I get it, Ayton could sit too for Portland. But before the T-Wolves lost Monday, they had 7 in a row home games, which they either won or stayed within 9. I think, like I said, anything goes on this day before the All-Star break. It's like getting the last haircut of the day. You don't know what you're in for here. So get in on this now if you can, Portland plus 9.5. I think they're going to cover. Parlay Kid, you have a pro game as well.
Well, Sal, I'm taking basically the same thing, exact same thing you're saying here with the Jazz home against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So the Jazz, after two nice wins against Milwaukee and OKC, laid an egg on Monday night against the Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Warriors are now going back home tonight, play the Clippers, and then traveling back to Utah
right
for this Thursday night game, correct? So seems that's just a lot. Even though the Warriors have been fantastic as late, Curry putting himself maybe into the MVP conversation again. I don't think it's a legit conversation, but he's been phenomenal.
That's all we do. We don't have any legit conversations here, so I might as well throw it in the barrel. Yeah.
And so for the same reason, Sal, Utah, home, a little revenge factor. I really do think in the NBA, it's very hard. And I know it's my playoff. I root for this in the playoffs, but I think it's
second
hard.
Game.
Two games. This is not a back-to-backer. But I almost think this is more difficult for the Warriors because they're traveling in between and coming right back and playing in Utah. And Utah's been a tough team all year. They've struggled as of late, but still a team that's in the mix for like a very low playoff seed, but they're fighting to get in. I think they get this one, a little revenge in mind, home team right before the break. Let's take the Jazz over a very hot Warriors team tomorrow. Straight up, right now, it's Jazz are getting a point. I'll just take them on the money line.
All right. Bri, you have a Thursday night matchup. UCLA, God, the Pac-12, as good as the Pac-12 was in football in their final year, well, all those teams were good, beating up on each other. The Pac-12 in basketball, men's, they may have two representatives, Arizona and Oregon. I think, as far as I could see, are the only ones. The Pac-12 women, the other side, almost all those teams can make it, which is interesting.
Yeah, but Pac-12
living out here, that's the talk. But anyway, you like UCLA plus a point
and a
half?
Yeah, UCLA. Yeah, getting a point and a half at home versus Colorado. Look, it's been a rough year for UCLA, right? But, you know, earlier in the year, I will say they lost a ton of close games. You know, they're only 13-11, but, you know, it's not typical for them. But they have had a nice stretch here. They've won 5 straight, 7 over their last 8, 3 straight at home. And then you have a Colorado team coming here. They've lost 3 of their last 4. And listen to this. This is why, I mean, these are the type of games I love. When you can get these matchups, it's pretty much a pick 'em, even though you're getting a point and a half. Colorado has lost 5 of their last 6 on the road here. So you have a hot team at home, a team that's playing terrible on the road. I just love UCLA getting a point and a half.
You don't think Coach Prime's influence is going to do anything? All right, that's fine. You're going to get bit in the ass
got
like
Darren,
everyone
Darren's
else.
Darren's favorite coach, too. We got Cronin. So Darren,
yeah. That's right. There you go. All right. Harry, Grand Canyon. Okay, well, just take us through this here.
Hey, listen. Grand Canyon, I'm going to lay, usually I don't lay big numbers. I'm going to lay a big number here with 18.5. You know, Grand Canyon, mine and Tate Frazier's Grand Canyon Antelopes, the best team in Phoenix, Arizona, by the way, are 22-2 this year. They're playing Utah Tech. Utah Tech lost by 10 at home to the Lopes already. They've lost 4 straight to Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon's 13-0 at home. It's placed as a madhouse. 9 of their 13 wins by double digits. Grand Canyon in a blowout over the Trailblazers of Utah Tech.
I think this is Brother Bri, Parley Kid, help me out here. I think this is a watch how smart I am, watch how in tune I am with the local team's pick, which, Mikey Meatballs, we should start keeping track of this. I think Harry's probably around 20% picking the local teams, being an expert on the local. I'm not even including
that might
every
be
year.
The case, but the last, but those teams I picked before were never 22-2.
Yeah, he picks Devin Booker for MVP every year. It's the same thing. It's a local. I mean, it screwed us out of a nice parlay, right, Michael?
Yeah,
I
think
we would have split like 4K if it hit. We had
Meatballs. What did he have
in
on
Vegas?
That?
Michael Northern had the Arizona. Islanders. Michael had the Northern Islanders. Arizona. They crushed 6-2. I had the Mavs versus the depleted Knicks. The Knicks dressed like three guys. I had the Mavs minus 6.5. That one easy. And Harry had his hero, Mad Dog. Suns College, Northern Arizona, because he's an assistant coach. It really doesn't take much for Harry to be enamored. And that, I think they were down by 24 at half, right? Or something stupid.
And lost by 35.
Crushing. Disgusting. That would have been really good. But anyway, you would have lost with the team you picked. That would have been a more devastating loss. You like the Ducks. Yeah. You like the Ducks plus a goal and a half.
Sure.
But they played on the next night. You thought that they played the night we were making the parlay. And they lost with an empty net goal by two. So that would have been fun, too.
That would have been
actually more fun.
Only time they were down two the whole game.
Right. All right. Let's go because, we tried to do this last week. Best NBA division odds value. When we did this, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We had our picks lined up and Embiid went out. So we instead revisited the MVP odds. At that time, I had Cleveland at plus 220. They were a game back, and now they're a game and a half up and minus 240. So I'm going to stay away from that. But, Bri, you like the Bucks plus 170. That's Simmons loves them, too. Take us through the Bucks here.
Well, look, I mean, right now, plus 170, I think that's pretty good value. I think the way this is going, look, the Cavs have played phenomenal, right? They had a great stretch. But, they lost their last game, and I could see things starting to turn around a little bit for them. They're not going to continue to play at the level they had been playing at. Usually for a team like that, it turns at a certain point. And I think for the Bucks, they're a game and a half behind the Cavs. But there's going to be a point, I haven't liked the Bucks kind of all season here. But there will be a point in the next couple of games, I feel like, after the All-Star break, where Doc kind of gets through to these guys. They start playing winning ball. They go on a 7 or 8 game win streak before the playoffs start. I think they sneak back in here at plus 170. But the only thing I will say, if you're going to look for negatives on that, I do think the Bucks. I think the strength of schedule for the remaining part of the season is one of the toughest, though. I think that's like five. I think it's 520 or something that they're at. And I think the Cavs they're about 500 for the remaining strength of schedule. So
I don't think they play. Do they play each other the rest of the year? I don't think they do.
I don't think so. No, I don't.
I'll tell you what. The NBA did a really shitty job scheduling. I know it's because that in-season tournament, right, Parley Kid? It matched up teams more than they normally would with that. Because for my pick, the Mavs Pelicans also have 0 games remaining against each other. So you have two division rivals now. So I'll just take it from here. I'm in and on a, I'm Bri, it's good, except, the Bucks. I think like there's always a game where they play no defense.
Well,
right.
I know.
And lose
well,
by 20 at all.
You're not going to hedge on this. You're not going to take the plus 220 and the plus 170. And then when the Pacers win the division.
Yeah, of course that's what happens. Of course that's what happens. Now I did actually. So I went in on parlay with Simmons, because like Doc says they're ready. But if he was friends with the, he was friends with the Cavs coach, I guarantee you that guy would say they're ready too. So, but anyway, all right. So Bucks, Mavs. So I'll go Mavs plus 135 for that division. I think actually FanDuel was boosting that parlay for Simmons. Mavs, Bucks division. It goes to like 450 or something. And I can't even believe I'm doing this after Mark Cuban and the Mavs just laid down the last 3 weeks last year and crushed my Dallas to make the playoffs bet. But, I feel like I have to go down with Dallas in every sport. Should I bet the Stars? Harry, find out the Stars odds for me too. One game behind the Pelicans, I like that it's really just those two because Houston is 8 behind in the loss column. They split the 4 games so far. Mavs are playing tough. They won 5 in a row before San Antonio tonight. That game hasn't ended. We could assume 6. I just think plus 135 is nice, and the Mavs owe me. Playing tough, like I said, that's my pick. Parlay Kid, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take OKC plus 210 to win that Northwest division. Over there in the West. And look, they're a game behind the T-Wolves. They're a game in front of Denver. Is Denver at a point? But I really feel like Denver's at a point the way we'd kind of talk about, maybe like we were talking about KC. Like, I don't know if Denver really cares about where they're going to be seated. As long as they're not really in like a play-in game or something like that. And they're not going to be because their record is still very good. I think for them, it's just about making sure they're healthy getting into the playoffs. Where I think OKC is a team, obviously, they're very youthful. They're healthy. There's going to be energy here down the stretch. And they're going to be fighting, I think, this division with the T-Wolves. I mean, Denver's not going to really go away. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at some point they're resting guys and not worrying about like winning and losing. I don't think OKC is really going to do that. And at plus 210, it's good value for a team that's only one game back. And the T-Wolves have surprised everybody this year. Let's face it. I pegged the T-Wolves to not even make the playoffs this year. They played above their heads. But I do think the youthfulness and the energy that this OKC team plays with on a nightly basis, they average 120 points a game, will prevail in the end in this division. So I'll take them at plus 210, and they're a fun team to root for.
I think you're right, Parlik, especially about the Denver's maybe not caring about a one seed. You know, we saw Miami go through, didn't matter. Right. Like my analysis for the West, especially, is not who has the more home games. Oh, you're not going to beat Minnesota if they have home field, home court. Not going to beat Oklahoma City. It's like my thing is, can Team A or Team B take out Denver? Can they win 4 games against Denver, regardless of where the games are? So that's, I think you're right about that. All right, Harry, best division value. What do you got?
Yeah, speaking of a fun team, like Parlay Kid just said, how about in the Southeast division? I'm going to take the Orlando Magic at plus 125 heading into Wednesday night's games. Them and Miami were tied for the division. This team has won 34 games last year, Sal. They've already won 29 through 54 games this season. Miami just 5-9 in their last 14 overall. That includes the Magic beating them by 18 about 2 weeks ago. Miami, over the years, we've said not a great team at home, only 15-13 at home. Orlando 17-8. If you want to include the Hawks, they're 5 back, but I think their defense is so soft that they're just not going to be able to hang with them and make that ground up. They're averaging 123 points a game. Orlando's the only team in the division that has a plus point differential per game. Bankero's been a star in his 2 seasons, averaging 23-7. Wagner is getting over 20 points a game in his 3rd season. Cole Anthony off the bench is getting like 13-4-4. This Miami team's a fun team to watch, plus 125. To win the division where they are tied currently as of Wednesday with the Heat.
They have easiest remaining strength of schedule for the rest of the season of any
Orlando?
Team.
Orlando? How did you not know that, Harry? All that information, you didn't know that. Wow. All right. Did you run that by Megan Conley? That's our team. Imagine.
It is.
Team. Magic retired Shaq's number the other day. I don't know why it took so long. He was their first overall pick, franchise's first overall pick. Took him to a championship. The finals. But it took a while. But Shaq is now 3 teams that have retired his jersey. I think only 2 other players have done that. Who am I missing? Wilt and Maravich, maybe? Is that right? I think Maravich and Wilt are the only ones. And I think the whole league retired Bill Russell, right? Bri, will any team ever retire 4? Is that unbeatable? Any 4 teams retire the same players numbers is what I'm saying, I guess.
That's a good question. I mean, well, you're going to have LeBron's going to be 3.
Yeah.
Unless he decided he wanted to play 3 or 4 years for another team. Right.
Like if he went to Little A's Hornets, Oh, where are we supposed to say that much? I don't know. Won a championship with Bronny.
Yeah, I mean, there. I guess there's a possibility there. I don't know. I'm trying to think who else could potentially. Not going to be James Harden. Not going to be James Harden. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll get
Durant. Nothing like that, right? Westbrook. I don't know who it could be. No one playing right now that we know of.
Yeah,
it's even close.
Yeah, not right. long enough. I was trying to think if there's some like old, you know, some guys who were part of winning championships on like four different teams. Like I was trying to think of like the not
Ish Smith.
No, like the Robert Ory's of the world. You know, I was trying to think of if like a thing like that, but you know,
He hasn't even gone like from one, right?
I know exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it has to be, though.
Mutombo 2, Moses Malone 2, obviously Jordan 2 here, right? Wait, this is interesting. Wait, what is this? Bulls Heat? Am I getting this right? The Heat retired Jordan's number? Oh, it could be Jordan then, for three at least, to join the three.
Wait, what?
Is that right?
No, what the hell is that about?
For what?
Pat Riley said prior to Jordan's final game in 2003, in honor of your greatness and for all you've done for the game of basketball, not only NBA for fans, we want to honor you tonight by hanging your jersey forever, number 23, from the Raptors of American Airlines Arena. No player ever again will wear number 23 for the Heat.
What a loser Pat Riley is for that.
So not even the Wizards, but the Bulls and the Heat.
The guy dominated the Knicks for those years, and Pat Riley's going to do that. Oh, my, I didn't even know that.
That is terrible.
It doesn't sound real. It doesn't sound right.
That is like Harry throwing Andy Reid a 70th birthday party or something. Exactly. By the way, you should do that, Harry.
Or buying Romo beer, you know, something like that.
At least the impersonator or something. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we're going to talk Caitlin Clark on the stupid Kappa consequences. All right, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA, I make calls, I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
All right, so Bri, big women's hoops fan. You're wearing the Iowa jersey.
I got
hers.
I got her shirt on.
This is hers. I didn't even see. Iowa 22.
It's my daughter. It's my daughter's shirt. I borrowed it. Wow. She's going to be so mad.
That's great.
It's going to be like the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm when Larry's glasses get stretched.
The glasses?
Yeah, it's going to be the head. That's going to be the head.
That's what you're doing?
She's going to be complaining about that. Awesome. For sure.
And she's 22 because she was a big Emmitt Smith fan, right? I doubt it. No, I'm sure it's a different reason. No, not true. All right. Anyway, she's breaking the record tonight, Thursday night. By the time you listen to this, she has 3,520 points. Washington, right. University of Washington's Kelsey Plum had 3,527. That's from 2013 to 2017. So she needs eight. You could bet like what quarter she'll win it. First quarter is the big favorite. But we're going to get into what method she will do this by. Will it be a three-point field goal that breaks the record to get to her 35-28? That's minus 120 for that. Will it be a layup at plus 145? Will it be a free throw at plus 850 or other? So that's just a jump shot or something like that. Yeah, anything else. I'm going to go three-pointer at minus 20. I feel like if she can make it rain behind the arc, it's just so much more special than like a layup or a free throw. I mean, this is the highlight. She's got to be thinking this is the highlight that's going to live forever. And it's tough to throw like a convincing fist pump after a layup or a free throw. In fact, I'm going to say she might miss a free throw or layup to get there, right? Remember the game 21 parlay kid?
Like
if you went over 21, you go back to down to 13. I feel like she's got those numbers in her head. She's diabolical. She didn't set the record on the road when she could have purposely. Now she's back home. She's calling her shot. She averages over 5 threes a game, 5.2, in fact. So got a few opportunities to do this at minus 120. I like that. And now Harry's jumping on with me, so I no longer like it. So, guys, what do you like?
No, Sal, listen, I think you nailed it. I think you're exactly right. When you associate her play, her game, when she's straining those threes, sometimes from the mascot logo around midcourt, averaging 30 over 32 a game. She's the first person in Division I college hoops to have 11 40-point games in the last 25 years. That's some crazy stat.
Same.
So I think it's going to be three. Yeah, Sal, I could see that. Let's not let it be a free throw. Definitely not a free throw. But I think three threes start the game. She gets it done.
Free throws are a rough one. All right, Parlay Kid, you have other. That's interesting. I mean, it seems like a jump shot's feasible.
I just think it's such a difference here. Other at plus 1,400 compared to a three-pointer at minus 120. I mean, what if her foot's on the line? You know what I mean? That could just be as simple as that when she's going for a three.
They'll count it as a three. I mean,
yeah. It could be. There's no lie. I think her shot charts don't probably show a lot of jumpers. I think Brother Brian would, in terms of like mid-range jumpers.
Right.
I would think that a lot of her points come from the three-point arc, going from the free throw line or from layups. But at the same time, it's too good to pass up a plus 1,400 where she could still be draining a long shot, but, maybe just a little inside the arc or something like that, a little pull-up jumper.
Right.
A little step back inside the three-point area. It's just too good of a number to pass up here, Sal. So I'll roll the dice on that.
I have to say, there's some shenanigans. I send you guys these screen grabs of people screaming about, like, they'll have first method of basket, whatever, layup, and they don't count it as a layup, and it's clearly a layup.
Well, that was ridiculous. Like, we've seen that. That's so
ridiculous.
There's
a couple of them. Like, it'll be your palm will be up, and they'll count it as a jump shot. Who knows? Bri, I think you got it here. I think, because Harry and I have the same. So take us through free throw plus 850.
Look, plus 850. Now, my mind is having a hard time with the odds here. But yeah. I feel like I still have to do the math here because I have to figure out how this makes sense. But I will say, look, I guarantee she wants to break the record on a three, right? Like you were saying,
yeah.
A three from the logo, right? Especially, I mean, just to get the crowd roaring. But look, I think, and the reason why you're getting significantly worse odds on a minus 120 on a three-pointer is, look, the thing is, you could win this if they're at 5.6 points, or if she's at 5.6 points or 7 points, right? A three-pointer wins this, right? Whereas on a two, you have to be at, she's got to be at six or seven, right? So you almost have like two opportunities to potentially hit this. That's why I think the odds have to be a little bit better. But the free throws are a little weird to me here. And listen to me here. Again, you're getting plus 850. But 18% of her scoring is from the free throw line this season. Hmm. You can say 49% is from three and 33% is from two. So, and I'm sure out of that 33%, I'm sure 30% are layups here. But she's made 10 more free throws than threes. And even though you could say cut those free throws in half, right, for the value. But plus 850 is just still a little wacky because I do think these girls, when they defend her, right, they're not going to want to have a big game, right? They're playing Michigan. This is going to be a tough game. Actually, she's going against Long Island's very own Lauren Hansen here in this one. But they could get up under her feet, right? They could foul her on a three, right? I think just maybe defending her. I mean, I know she likes to step back threes, but they could certainly foul her. So I just think there's a couple of different ways for this to happen, right? You could have an N1 on a layup potentially. I mean, I know on the N1 she's got to be at seven and hit the free throw at eight, but I just thought 850 just to me just didn't sound right.
It does.
Or 6-1, maybe.
You know, it's too high. It's too high. And the free throw, I'm sorry, the three is too low. That's too, it shouldn't be 120 either. But everybody, like idiots like me and Harry, especially Harry, we think that, that this is the romantic way to go out, right?
But maybe knowing the scenario and the situation going on and the refs know exactly what probably people would want, that they swallow the whistle on a foul call, knowing that she's going to go to the free throw line.
They don't want her to go to the free throw line?
Yeah, they don't want her to go to the free throw line. They want her to hit a three.
I'm officially off my bet. I'm officially off my bet with Harry. Here's what I'm looking at here. Aside from that nonsense, Bri, and you laid up the percentages. First of all, she had 14 free throws one game, right, this year?
Yeah.
She averages 5.7 free throws. She averages 5.2 threes. So why would it be 850 to 120, right?
Yeah, I mean, again,
she averages more.
Again, you could cut it down because the, you know, the free throw is obviously like, even it's really half of that, right? So it's half of it in terms of like the amount of like equivalent to a basket. But
some are on and ones, so it's
right,
like,
right. Some are and ones. Yeah. Some are, you know, some are you know, definitely a couple off of threes on the season, and that's why I liked it too, because I was thinking of that more. Again, that they, you know, they might be guarding her tightly from the 3-point line, and they just foul her accidentally. I do think that's why I was trying to wrap my head around the odds, and I was trying to figure out. I think the fact that, again, if you're at 5 or 6, that you could win on the 3, right? Which is
right.
You know, you got to be on the 6 or 7 for.
All right, I'm getting dizzy, and I can't believe we're talking about this. When's the Hall of Fame game?
A long time.
What are we gonna do? Bring back football. What are we doing?
And this game is on Peacock too, so this is gonna be interesting.
Really?
It's gonna be interesting. It sucks.
Sorry, Harry. You got to go to Dan O'Brien's house or something. I don't know what you're gonna do. All right. Listen, I was really just putting this off because now it's time for me to dip into this cap of consequence. Harry and I were just god awful in the playoffs for football. I was 2-11 and I needed the Super Bowl win to get to 2-11. Harry was also 2-11, but because he took the under and it kind of went under, he gets the tie breaking nod over me. So I have to do something unpleasant on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. And so we're going to pick the unpleasantness out of the hat right now and see. So there are 4 options, to be honest. These were written up, drafted by Babyface Soul Jolliman here. So, okay. Coney Dog Day afternoon. In honor of Harry's favorite 2023 football season, the Lions, Sal must devour a Detroit style Coney dog blended in a shake with relish, mustard, and grilled onions. Oof. All right. Mm.
Well, that something tells me you'll like that, but that's okay.
Something's wrong. I wouldn't like that. I would not like that. All right. Under pressure is the second option. Patrick Mahomes was great under pressure. Now Sal must show that he can do the same, but a different kind of pressure by getting a back massage from a bodybuilder. Harry is allowed to tell the muscle bound masseuse to add pressure. All right. I don't love that too much.
Okay. That's pretty good. I like that.
Okay. Pull this up. Victoria's Secret. In honor of Valentine's Day, Sal has to dress in a red teddy, much like the Chiefs colors, for an entire segment of Cousin Sal's winning weekend. I picked the Chiefs. Why am I doing this? I picked the freaking Chiefs. All right. Do that.
That would be good.
S Dog. Sal must dress as H Dog and read a rap written by Harry's alter ego. It might not rhyme or it might not even make sense, but he must try to sing it. All right. I'm not going to be thrilled about any of these, I got to be honest. All right. So,
when do his raps not make sense? I don't know.
Just always. All right. Let me go in here.
Although I think
keep those eyes up. I keep think, those eyes up, Sal.
All right. I don't even know what I want here. What do I care?
Think,
what
in all honesty, I think the under pressure one, somehow we should have got some claustrophobic thing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know how much you hate that.
Too
that
late. Great. Too freaking late, Brian, for your contribution. All right, here we go. I got one. Victoria's Secret. Oh, Jesus. Have to dress in a red teddy for entire segment on Cousin Sal's winning weekend.
Oh, that's
thanks,
that's
Soul Jolliman. That sucks.
Shave that chest. Shave that chest.
I'll do that tomorrow. I'm not shaving anything. That's it. How did this freaking happen? I picked the Super Bowl right, and Harry still hates the Chiefs, and they won. I should have just kept taking the Chiefs all throughout. All right, that sucks. So that's it. We'll do that. We're going to do that tomorrow on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We will take another break and we'll be right back with Sharp Tank.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, guys, here we go. Shark Tank, you got to give me your best. Now, how did this work out last week with the Super Bowl? We all lost, right? You all lost?
Well, we didn't technically do Shark Tank.
Oh, we didn't do it.
There you go.
We only did the one time.
I was testing you. That's right. Okay.
I think the week before I won and you went with me, Sal, and I won,
sure,
I think, right?
Sure, you're going to say that.
I think so.
Who did you have?
Yeah.
All right. So start us off then, Harry. So you guys each give me a pick and I have to back one of them, much like Shark Tank, but we call it Sharp Tank.
Okay. Sal, listen. Some people may know this, they may not, but you have become quite the soccer fan. Especially with that English Premier League stuff.
I think I watch more soccer than like baseball. Yeah. I really do. It's sad. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to do this. You can do this on FanDuel. All four matches here. It's a four-leg parlay. It pays -114. Uh-huh. And it pays all over 1.5 goals. All 1.5 goals. I'm going to first start with Brentford versus Liverpool. Last five matchups between these two, 17 total goals have been scored for an average of over 3 goals a match. I'm going to take Tottenham and the Wolves to go over 1.5. In the last 7 matches, these two have played combined. The score has been at least 2 goals or more. I'm going to go Nottingham Forest and West Ham over 1.5. Nottingham Forest last game was 3-2 on February 10th. Uh-huh. And 9 total goals have been scored in the last 2 West Ham matches.
They score.
And then on Sunday, Luton and Man United to go over 1.5. Luton, you wouldn't think this, Sal. You wouldn't. A lot of people out there wouldn't know this, but Luton Town has scored 9 goals in the last
matches. I would know it because they've screwed me a couple of times. Okay. I would think this. But
and then Man U has scored 13 goals in their last 3, so only need over 1.5. That's -114. And Sal, you know, there's nothing better than waking up on the West Coast and checking your phone and seeing you're already a winner at soccer. So that's it.
So Harry said this because we woke up together on, what was it, Saturday? And I was like, oh, both my soccer won. He's like, there's nothing better than that. And I corrected him, at least on my behalf. I said, no, I would like, instead of both of them to have won, one of them to have won, the other one to have been winning by a goal with like 4 minutes left. I need some kind of sweat. I need a little bit of a sweat, right? Mm. Right. Brian, what about you? You want both winners or do you want to sweat it out a little bit with a lead?
Ooh.
You want both winners. Interesting. Oh, yeah. See, I have a different kind of problem than you guys.
Well,
I hear what you're saying.
If
you were a real soccer fan, you wouldn't have to be waking up to it. You would know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So I'm sorry. Brother Brian would be up watching it if he was
a little rough on the West Coast. Though,
if you just stated you're a bigger soccer fan than baseball fan, why are you sleeping through these games? You got to be watching these things.
I'm not a bigger fan. No way I like soccer more than baseball, but I just find myself watching more soccer because when I do wake up, it's on all the time.
What has happened to you, Sal?
I know you're also saying, Sal, you're speaking in generalities in terms of like you watch the Mets all the time.
Yeah, right.
When you talk about like national games, you could give a crap about it. It's the same with hockey, right? Like maybe some regular season games you're going to maybe watch of other teams.
Listen, from 7:30 to 10 a.m. on the West Coast, all there is soccer, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing something, Harry? Harry will bet some shit like that.
7:30 to 10. Wait, what'd you say? What time?
7:30 to 10 a.m. outside of football season, I'm saying. Yeah.
Who's what?
Sometimes you're 5:30
You're sick.
Action.
I mean, Is what? That what's you gotta watch? You watch it. Think kid. About what you just said. So I don't know sports on 7:30 to 10 a.m. It's the only sports that are going. Well, yeah, of course, said the only sports that are going.
I don't know what to tell you. I am the you can't relate. I'm the father of a wrestler. And so I have to take him to these early weigh-ins. And so I'm sitting in my car drinking a coffee, watching EPL on my phone.
Darren, we went 2 weeks ago to see Harrison play his basketball on Saturday. Sal was definitely checking the score 60-40 over Harrison's game. Definitely.
I stayed in the car, for almost before tip-off. Harry, I worry about Tottenham Wolves going over.
Wolves have been scoring lately.
I'm telling you. All right. Bri, give us yours. We're going to UFC.
We'll thank Mikey Meatballs. He told us that Harry actually lost his last Shark Tank.
Good. Of course.
The American team.
That's a stupid train of thought.
Senior Bowl.
Oh, that's right. That stupid Senior Bowl. Nice. Well, not only did you lose, you lost by your analysis.
Penix didn't play. Play anyway, but that was against you. That was the national team, right?
Anyway. Right, that's right. Penix was saving his arm for Radio Row, and I think he made a good decision. All right, throwing a pass to me. All right, Brian, what you got?
All right, I'm going to do a UFC parlay. There's a big card this weekend. The UFC card is really good this weekend. Main card is great.
Really?
But I'm going to do a moneyline parlay. I know Parlay Kid's doing UFC too, but a moneyline parlay of Merab Dvalishvili and Amanda Lemos, the two of them to both win at +153. So I will say, I love Merab. I love him in this card. Love him against Cejudo. I think he's the best bantamweight out there. He's been stuck behind his teammate Sterling for a while now. And Sterling had that run at the bantamweights for a while. I think that's now changed to now Merab. And I'm going to say Merab because it's just easier to say his name that way. But I think it's his turn. And look, Cejudo looked solid in his return against Sterling. But I think Merab neutralizes wrestling. And it's weird to say that it's possible at this point in the career, like Merab could be as good, if not better, of a wrestler as Cejudo, which is weird because Cejudo is a gold medalist in wrestling. But I think the difference there is Merab is also better on his feet. He's going to be a better striker. So I like him. He's about -200. And then the other one, Amanda Lemos versus Mackenzie Dern. Lemos, I don't know if you remember that. She got killed in her last fight to Zhang. It was like 50-43 the scores. I think all three scores were like, it was like one of the most lopsided fights ever. But if you have watched Mackenzie Dern's fights, like the last four or five, she's looked really bad and she has struggled so much against punchers. Girls who throw hard, she has struggled with them. She struggled with Andrade the last fight, Jan the fight, like two fights before that. Lemos has a ton of power, so I think that's going to be too much for her. She's about -140. So you parlay those two, Merab and Lemos, it's +150.
Okay. All right.
And I haven't lost yet. I haven't lost yet this year, even though I don't
really?
Know.
Really? In this done. Calendar year?
We've maybe done four or five. But
probably four or five. Pretty good. All right. Yeah. Parlay Kid, now this is the main event, right?
Yeah, this is a good card. I really like that Dvalishvili-Cejudo fight. That's going to be a great one, I think. And I think I got a good one with Volkanovski and Ilya Topuria squaring off. Topuria undefeated. And look, I feel like sometimes this is where I make mistakes, though, when it comes to UFC. Where
thanks for the heads up.
I'll be honest, because I sometimes will hang on too long to a fighter in terms of a great fighter. And
we loved this guy six months ago. Right.
I go a fight or two too long with a guy like Volkanovski, where another guy is on the rise, like Topuria. But, when we look at Volkanovski's track record here, he's had two losses in his last three fights against Makai. I always say his name wrong, too, whether I say Makachev or Mahakachev, whatever it is. Okay. But that guy he's moved up in weight. He fought him in his last fight on like 2 weeks' notice. You could throw that one out the window, as far as I'm concerned. I just think for a guy like Topuria, who's went five rounds with Josh Emmett in his last fight, who's a solid fighter in his own right, Volkanovski at featherweight now, back at featherweight, this is a huge step up for a guy like Topuria. And I just think Volkanovski still has some good fighting left in his tank. So I'm but Topuria is going to be game here. So I'm taking Volkanovski by decision at +250. But again,
this is five rounds, obviously.
Five rounds. Okay. And I think this is the way the fight's going to go. I think if Topuria doesn't get him out early, Volkanovski will just wear him down and win in those championship rounds in rounds four and five and just grind it out. But this is going to be a great fight. I hope we don't see a change in the guard just yet, because I'd like to see Volkanovski still get another fight. I don't want to see him go out in a couple losses in a row. So I'm rooting for it.
Paula, wasn't your resolution to stay clear of UFC or something? Right? Or didn't you say something like that?
No, I said that's where I've lost a lot. I think that was my...
I said you take a break or something.
It wasn't like a New Year's resolution or something, Dave?
No.
That's what I just said. Yeah.
Yeah, we said it. I don't think I said it.
All right.
Maybe I did. I say I was going to give up
New
UFC.
Year? Was it a different New Year?
I think you're right. But this card it's a good one. And
all right.
I've won some big ones in UFC, but I've lost some where just.
Mikey Meatballs. Let Mikey Meatballs weigh in. What's the best value on this card here, Mikey?
Well, I do have all three of those fighters on a parlay.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we're rooting for all those. And nice. Then I think Lemos is probably the best value.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overall on the card. She should probably be -200, I think. So
really?
I would say just to win would be the best value.
All right. So she's -142, but Bri has her in a parlay. Let's see what we got. Okay. I'm gonna go with Jeff Bri.
Jeff Neal to beat Ian Garry as well.
Oh,
at +186 is a good one.
Changes things.
Bri, you like Volkanovski in this one? I do,
and I hear what you're saying, Dad. I was thinking the same thing. Like sometimes you definitely hang on too long, but I would say because you saw the same thing with Max Holloway, because Holloway was the same thing, right? But when he would come back down or when he would fight a guy just a hair below, he would still win those fights. I think you got to keep going with Volkanovski until he loses at featherweight. When he loses at featherweight, then you can just say, I'm going to go against him the fight after.
It's too much. It's too much. I'm calling. I'm going to cry. I'm going with your parlay.
Nice.
Harry, I like Harry. There's a 1-1 in there somewhere over 1.5. Yeah, there's a 1-0. I think that's. Mm. Gonna screw you, unfortunately. I'll root for you, but I probably should stay away from UFC. But I'll go with Bryce parlay there. Did anyone see the last card? But those two soccer games I won, Harry, last Saturday, and then I get on the plane, I go home. I had it tied, of course, to Pfeiffer over Hermanson. Yeah. Did I see that?
Yeah,
freaking typical fight though. He wins the first two, right? He gets gassed, loses round 3 and 4 against the more experienced Hermanson. And ironically, Hermanson like takes him down in the fifth. I say ironically because it was Pfeiffer who was going for takedowns the whole fight, right, Bri? And couldn't get any. And had he gotten one, that probably would have been enough to win the fifth round. And then he loses 29-28, right? Because
it's close.
Because he gets stuffed. Damn it. I hate it. Can't stand it. All right. But Bri, I'm going with you anyway. One more shot with the UFC. Let's take another break. We got some email and we'll get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right. Cousin Sal, against all odds at gmail.com. That's where you look to find us, really. You could criticize us, tell us we're great. It's not likely that that's what you're going to do. But anyway, you could write in Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Oh, we got a letter from Ivan Prieto Garcia. He's a big fan of ours. He writes in. He says, hey, guys, you remember the email below that I sent months ago I'm not going to read it, but he says, Harry was right, and it was all part of a script for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Stop attacking him for telling the truth. Everything became clear on Sunday. Kelce outbursts only for drama purpose. The perfect bounce to the leg of the 49ers player on the punt and the holding call in overtime to make it seem like everything wasn't fixed and the 49ers really had a chance. Harry knew it from the beginning and is paying the consequences for making it public. Goodell is going after him. Do you really think that someone could be as bad or better as Harry in every sport? No. Goodell is fixing other sports too to make it seem like Harry has no idea about betting. Missed free throws in the last seconds, flat tires for his NASCAR drivers, even strong wins against his favorite golf players to make him lose bets. That 10-team parlay losing on the last or the first were no coincidence. Goodell planned it to hurt his feelings. There you go. Harry should stop now. Who knows how far Roger will go to protect his business. He could end up sleeping with the fishes. Good work. Keep up the good work and be patient for the next scripted season. Best regards, Ivan Prieto. Wow. There you go, Harry. Defending you.
So me and Yvonne, we know it. We got it. We said it. We know it. That's all I said. We nailed it.
You nailed it.
Dead on, pal.
You agree with him. Say everything he said.
Huh?
You agree with everything he said?
Some of it. Some of it, sure.
Okay. All right, I'm going to read it again. Not now, but to myself. He might have been sarcastic for some of these points. I'm not sure. I take a look. Guys, Cousin Sal. Cousin Sal at Gmail. Cousin Sal against the odds at gmail.com. So that's about it. We're going to have Cousin Sal's winning weekend. You guys are going to be on tomorrow. We're going to have our 2025 Super Bowl winner. I'm apparently going to have to dress in a lace red teddy for the cap of consequences. We'll have our NBA All-Star picks. We're going to have a couple each. That's it. I was thinking about it. You know, the Super Bowl's over, but I may have my biggest bet in a while this weekend by getting my house termite tented. Has anyone had to do this yet?
Ooh.
I think I did it like 15 years ago, but it's different now because I don't know if it was the scene in Breaking Bad
they were
cooking meth in a house that was being termite tented, because before that, like, no one would ever go in a house that was being termite tented or they'd die, right? They'd breathe the fumes. But then Breaking Bad came in, and now there's been a rash of like robberies during termite tent. Like, everyone's telling them, like, oh, you're going to get robbed. You're going to get robbed in those 2 days. You're getting termite tented. And I wouldn't say I live in a bad neighborhood, but I don't know why I would be getting. They're like, you're definitely going to get robbed unless you hire someone. So I looked into it. And of course, it's $2,000 plus to get somebody to watch the house for not even the whole day. It's just like 10 p.m. to 10 a.m., you know, when soccer's going. But
hey, Mikey Meatballs. So you won't be there. Yeah. How about Harry?
I'll come out.
How much
I was thinking about that, but then Harry's just going to fall asleep in front of the house, right?
No, I won't. No.
Okay, so if I pay you,
I'll take $17.50.
And then what are you going to do? So let's say you're all right. You see guys like in hazmat suits, and they there's two of them, and they're coming in. What are you going to do? You're just going to call the cops?
No, I don't know what I'll
do. Oh, this is great. This is a great interview.
Remember the Seinfeld episode?
Tell me what you want me to do.
Well, your job is to stop intruders. Yeah. So that's what would you do?
I would talk to them. I would talk to them first.
You would talk to them?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, it's not like we're in a terrible neighborhood.
Well, but there are bad guys afoot, and they have a mission to rob. So here's my gamble here. Harry, you're fired before I even hire you. I'm not okay. Letting you do this. But I'm not going to hire someone for $2,000. I'm going to take the valuables out of my house, and so that there's nothing worth that. Like, God, if they want the flat screens on the wall, if they're willing to go, God bless them, they could take those. But Brian, I think that's my gamble of the weekend. $2,000, not paying the $2,000, hoping I'm not wrong. No, well, you would pay it? What the hell? Robbing people?
I'm trying to think. If I were you, I probably wouldn't. But how? Yeah, I'm just trying to think how this works.
I'm
going to
pack up some valuables. I'll put the dumb Emmy in the car and wherever we're staying at a hotel. I shouldn't even be announcing that I'm not hiring Harry or any security forces. That's probably stupid.
Yeah, this is but, this is probably dumb. This is good. This is bad that this is the breakout for the week.
Right. That's the other thing. But there's no bigger advertisement that you're not home than a giant bouncy house, you know, surrounding your where you live, right, for 48 hours. So I could see that. But everyone's like, no, you're definitely going to get robbed. They're going to go inside and turn your house upside down.
So is this... Are you having problems with termites, or is this actually
first of all, it's the biggest racket. If you see any hole in any part of wood in your house and you have an inspector come by, they're 100% going to say you need to get tented. That's their business. Whatever. They've never said, no, don't worry about it. Those are just fleas. You got termites, according to them. If there's any hole in any wood in your house. So that's that. I don't even know if I need it, but, apparently we do, and it's an excuse to stay at a hotel with a pool, I guess. But anyway, we're gonna get robbed anyway. So wish me luck, because that's my gamble for the week.
I do think you could I do think you could bring somebody you know there.
But all 48 hours? I mean, Harry, what would you do? Honestly, you would talk to them. Like, here we go.
Harry would stay in the house.
I'm going to be the guy.
I mean, Harry's used to the nuclear power plant of Oswego.
That's true.
He could stay in your house. He could just stay there. It's fine.
All right, Harry, here let's put this through. Let's role play here. Okay. I'm going in. I got the suit. You don't know if I have any weapons on me. You're going to tap me on the, you're going to get out of the car, right? You're going to tap me on the back. And what are you going to say?
I don't know. I don't know what am I supposed to say?
Well, what would you say? You want this job. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to, you said you talked to him. So what are you going
to
say?
I would talk to them. I said, what do you need?
Would you ask for some ID? Would you ask for ID or something like that?
That's a good start, dude.
What would you say? So go ahead, say it. So what would you say?
Can I see some, can I see some ID? And then they'd say, why?
No, I'll be me. You're having enough trouble being you. So let me be the robber here. All right, go ahead. You tap me on the back. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Can I help you?
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm in charge of this whole operation right now.
Yeah. So what do you need from me?
I need some proper identification for being on this property.
I'm not going to give you any identification, you fat motherfucker. Get out of my face. And then I go in the house and I rob it.
Good job, probably Harry. Good. Probably That's goes good. Down like that.
That's good. That's good. Parley kid, I don't know if I should hire Harry. I don't know.
I'll do it for free.
That's why that whole 7-Eleven story is bogus.
Right. I gotta get out. I'm glad we're all getting a good laugh, but I'm gonna get robbed this weekend. So
forget about the 1750.
There you go. That's gonna do it for another episode of Against All Odds. Hey, tune in to Cousin Sal's winning weekend on Friday, FanDuel Friday morning for Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicap. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.